Okay, testing. Can everybody hear me? Okay?
No? Okay, how's this now? Okay, good afternoon, everyone. All right, please open your Bible to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Verses 8 through 18, it's there in your bulletin, it'll be up on the screen, but definitely have your Bible open, just in case. So, right, let's see, let's go ahead and, so 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. So, last week we opened the chapter from verse 1, and we went through all the way to verse 8. We're picking up the story. So the theme for this year is the message of the prophets. That's what Pastor Hiroshi has officially titled our theme for this year, the message of the prophets. And we're, you know, looking at the writings and the lives of the prophets. And what I love about this story of Elijah is it's the message of the prophet through the life of the prophet. We're not reading the words that Elijah wrote down or the messages that he preached. He didn't say, like, thus says the Lord, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we are getting the opportunity to learn through his life. And sometimes that's the best. Not so much the direct lecture, but through the story. So I praise God for that. So, let me go ahead and read from verse 8 to verse 18. Please join me. It's going to be a weird ending. So, why don't you join me at verse... how about this? Let's read together from verse 8 to 11. Excuse me, verse 12. And then I'll finish from verse 13 to verse 18. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. So, we'll read the first slide together, and then I'll finish with the second slide. Yeah, that works. Okay, so let's read together 1 Kings 19. Verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Let me continue. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's review the story. Here, it starts at Mount Carmel in the north, in the country of Phoenicia, Tyre, and Sidon. And Elijah, the prophet, wins an amazing, incredible, powerful victory for Yahweh. Lightning comes down, consumes the meat, the stones, the water of the altar. Finally, it's going to start raining again, literally raining to end the drought and the famine. And Elijah kills the prophets of Baal. And now he thinks, okay, God is going to take back the northern kingdom. He's going to reunite the north and the south. And we will be a country, a chosen people, a royal priesthood that will serve God, and God will be our God, Yahweh. No more Ashtoreth, no more Baal, no more Chemosh, no more Molech, no more idolatry. Yah! He runs down to Jezreel, where the queen has set out an order to have him killed. This was in chapter 19, verse 1. Jezebel says, verse 2, may the Lord do to me if I don't have you killed by this time tomorrow. So you hear it's like the car sound, tires screeching to a halt. And now Elijah is going to run for his life. And he flees down to the southern kingdom. He stops at Beersheba, the southernmost part of the country. And he says to his staff, his assistant, you're fired. You can go. We're done. The ministry is over. We're finished. No more prophecy, no more fires, no more miracles, no more raising people from the dead, no more oil that goes on forever, and all, none of that. We're done. And then he leaves his staff at Beersheba, and he goes down into the wilderness. This was last week. And in the wilderness, he comes across a figure. He's sleeping under a bush, just exhausted. And suddenly something or someone touches him. It's the Malach Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, a physical manifestation of the ultimate spiritual reality. Translation, the image of God, Yahweh himself, the angel of Yahweh. And he says, well, he doesn't say anything. He cooks for him. Yeah. He gives him a cooked, fresh-baked cake. He gets a fresh pot of water. He says, eat, rest. So Elijah, in his depression, in his dejection, he eats, he drinks, and goes back to sleep. And then he wakes up, and the Malach Yahweh says, okay, it's a long journey. You're going to go from here all the way down to the southern part of this peninsula, the place called the Mountain of God, Mount Horeb. Now, I wrote this dotted line. I don't know if that's his route or not. He might have just gone direct. But it says it took 40 days, 40 nights, on the strength of that heavenly cake that Yahweh baked. And that's a long way. So, we pick up where we're here, or where we're at. By the way, the title, Despondency and the Word. Last week was Dejection and the Angel. Dejection means you are depressed, sad, and in low spirits because you're disappointed. Dejection, a good word for your vocabulary. Okay? Yeah, yeah. Another new word, despondent, right? Despondency and the word, despondency. Great word. This word means you are depressed and you are sad because you have lost your courage and your hope. Have you ever been despondent? Does anybody understand? You lost your courage. You lost your hope. You're going to die. Someone is chasing after you. Maybe nobody's coming after you. Okay. But you've gotten the news. You've gotten the email. You've read the text. And you had that empty feeling in your stomach. You had that dream. And you're so glad it was just a dream. Because in the dream, you had lost your courage. You lost your hope. And you are despondent. That's Elijah when he's in the desert. And so, in the desert, he encounters the word. Okay, let's go to verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. The more famous name is Mount Sinai. And so he reaches Mount Sinai. This is the place where centuries earlier, Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt towards Jerusalem. But he goes to Mount Sinai, also called Horeb, the mountain of God. That's where he met the angel of God. And so here, Elijah meets the angel of God? Record screeches. No, it's not the angel of God. What does it say? There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him and asks him a question. I love this story. Yeah, I wish I had 2 hours to go through every single verse. Don't have it. You don't want 2 hours. Okay. But I'm going to give you a teaching that maybe last week there's a question mark that went on top of your head. What was this? And today I'm going to continue that teaching. And maybe there will be some more bing, 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 bing question marks. I promise you it's all from the Bible, but it's not something you have heard most likely. But it's not nothing new. It's not something strange or out of left field. It's just something that's hard to understand and hard to teach and therefore hard to accept. But, oh, it's so good. It's so good. So, I would ask you to please buckle your seatbelt and enjoy the ride. Okay? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the word of the Lord. Elijah is in a state of despondency. And he's traveled to the place where the covenant of God is delivered to the people of Israel. He's at ground zero. And he wants to know, who is God? How can I get my courage back? How do I get my hope back? I've been on the mountaintop. I've seen the success. And it turns out it's empty. And at that moment, who comes to Elijah? The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Dabar Yahweh. Lord is Yahweh. Word is Dabar. Now, what's the big deal? That phrase, expression, Dabar Yahweh, the first place we see it is in the book of Genesis. And actually, it's in Genesis chapter 12, the story of Abram. Abraham meets a mysterious figure, has a conversation with him, and says, go to this place called Canaan, leave your father's house, and I will make you a great nation. It says in Genesis chapter 12, it was the word of the Lord. And then he's in the land of Canaan, and he sees three figures, three men, the Bible says. And it's a vision, something visual. And it's not just something he sees, but it's something he can hear. It's audible. And one of those three men refers to himself as the angel of the Lord, the Malach Yahweh. And that Malach Yahweh spoke to him as the Dabar Yahweh, the word of the Lord. And so Abraham has this conversation. He presents to him a sacrificial meal. You could read about it from Genesis 12, 13, 14. And then Abraham does something to help his nephew Lot. He has now made some allies and made some enemies, very powerful enemies. And now Abraham is sitting in his tent. And here's what it says, verse 1 in chapter 15. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abraham in a vision. And then there's a whole episode of Abraham encountering a visual, physical manifestation of the word of God, Yahweh. So, you're reading your Bible from Genesis all the way to Malachi, the Old Testament, and you see dozens of times, again and again, expression the word of the Lord, the Bar Yahweh. And then you open John in your New Testament, and in the beginning of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. John, are you telling me something? And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word at the beginning is God, was God. And that Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Okay, that's Jesus we're talking about. Okay? And then, John chapter 8, Jesus is having a conversation with people who think they know the Bible more than him. John chapter 8. People are accusing Jesus of blasphemy. And they're saying, Jesus, how dare you say that you have a Father in heaven, making yourself the Son of God? How dare you say that you come from heaven? And then Jesus talks about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 through 15. And he's pointing his finger back to that story. And he's saying, you know what? Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he would see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And they're so angry at him, and they're about to pick up stones. They're going to throw them at him and kill him. And he says this, before Abraham was, I am. I'm getting excited. Yeah, I'm so excited. Okay, I know there's only like five people, but so oof, I feel like this. Yeah, I know. Jesus says, you read Genesis where Abraham meets the Dabar Yahweh, the Word of God? That was me. When Jesus was, when Abraham was talking to the Word of the Lord, when Abraham saw the Word of the Lord, when Abraham served a meal to the Word of the Lord, he was serving me. I appeared to Abraham. I appeared to Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, Jeremiah, Daniel. I appeared to Elijah. That was me. Okay, what's the big deal? Who cares? If you don't know that it was Jesus in the Old Testament who was talking and touching and cooking and feeding and ministering, here's what you come to. You come to Mormonism. You come to false teaching. You come to the common idea, even in Japan, that Jesus was just a man who became God because of his good works, because God loved him and favored him, because he was had the power to raise himself from the dead. So the common understanding, and I've heard Japanese people tell me this, Jesus was a man who became God. And if you believe that, if you think that's what the truth, then that means the teaching of the Bible is, oh, you, man, woman, you will become gods too. If you are holy, if you can pray and believe and have faith and be good, and if you die as a Christian, maybe God will raise you up like Jesus and he'll make you a god and you'll have your own planet that you can rule and reign over. Sounds strange? That's the teaching of the Mormon Church. And not only the Mormon Church, but many people who think Jesus was just a man. But right here, the Dabar Yahweh was the physical manifestation of the spiritual reality of Yahweh. So in the Old Testament, you have this idea that God was in heaven, spiritual, unseen, pure, metaphysical reality, and yet he manifests himself physically. So where you can see him, you can touch him, you can hear him. And so therefore, Jesus was not a man who became God. Jesus is God who took on flesh and dwelt among us. The Dabar Yahweh. Now, there's a whole lot more we can go with that. There's much, much more. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And if you have questions, if you have doubts, if you're saying, Pastor Chris, I've never heard this. I grew up in church. I've come from many churches, many teachings. I've heard some weird stuff. This? And if you've listened, you've been listening to me. You've known me. How many years? Okay? I'm not out there. I'm not trying to lead you out to crazy land. Okay? I'm doing the best I can to present you the Word of God the best I know. And it's all with love. And it makes me so excited. to know this truth, to realize it. I've been studying the Bible since I was 17. I've been teaching the Bible since 17. So now I'm 45, what is that, almost 30 years? I'm still learning. I'm still discovering. I'm still, like Peter says, I make every effort to add to my faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge perseverance, to perseverance self-control, and self-control mutual affection, mutual affection love. I'm adding, and I'm growing, and I'm participating in the divine nature. You will never exhaust the depths of the wisdom of God in His Word. All right, I'm done. So, the Debar Yahweh. What does that have to do with despondency? We go back to the text. The word, the God says, Elijah, you should do this, you should do that, you should feel this, you should go. He doesn't do that. What does God do? He wants a conversation. And oh, I'm learning from God like this. When I have something to tell my students, to talk to my son about, to talk to my children, I don't come in guns blazing, fingers wagging. He comes with a question. Because he wants Elijah to enunciate and to speak what's on his heart. Get it out there. And Elijah, he's complaining. He was so depressed and so despondent. He had so many expectations. I'm the only one left. Okay? I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me. Right? So he's, you know. So the Word of God, the Word of God says, all right, get into this cave. Now, you know, this is just a random picture. I downloaded on Google, okay? All right, I just Googled Sinai, Mount Horeb, cave. And this is one of the pictures. Just to give you an idea, an image, right? Now, this story of Elijah going into the cave, standing in the mountain, that's not new. Same thing happened with Moses hundreds of years before. Moses on top of the mountain, receiving the covenant. Down at the bottom of the mountain, the Israelites were sinning, were committing idolatry, were basically committing adultery to God who was marrying them. And Moses is like, oh no. Moses is in the same position or the same condition as Elijah was. Despondent, disappointed, dejected because of the people. God, I want to see you. I want to know you. I need to see your face. I don't know who I am anymore. Remind me of who you are. So God says, all right, you want to see me? Get into this cave. I'm about to pass by. You know who was talking to him? It was the Word of Yahweh, the Debar Yahweh. So, God passes by Moses, and it says here, I'm about to pass by. There was a wind. There was an earthquake. And there was fire. God was not in any of those. Does that mean God doesn't come with wind, earthquake, or fire? No. With Moses, with the book of Acts, chapter 2, it was wind. God reveals himself in wind. With Abraham, Genesis 15, it was fire. God was in the fire. With Moses at the burning bush, he was in the fire. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, God came down from heaven. It was an earthquake. God was in the earthquake. So God is in those things. But for Elijah, not in those things. It was different. It was a gentle whisper. So some of us, some of you in here, you get an earthquake. That's how God reveals himself. Some of you in here, you get a hurricane. Some of you in here, you get an earthquake. God reveals himself in those ways. And for some of you in here, you get a gentle whisper. And as the old King James calls it, the still small voice, right? You've heard of that? The still small voice? Yeah. So verse 13, Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, stood at the mouth of the cave, and the voice said to him, "What are you doing?" Now there's a repetition. Elijah says it twice. God allows him to say it twice. Says the same thing. And here's, I want you to look at this, verse 14. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty." You know what that means? God, I had a plan. You didn't follow it. That's what he's saying. I've been passionate. I've been doing everything right. I followed every step. And everything went according to plan. And you even showed up with a fire. I've been very zealous. What's wrong with you, God? Why didn't you follow my plan? That's what he's saying. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And instead, the people reject the covenant. They tear down the altars. They're killing people. I'm next. I'm the only one. Here it is. Point number whatever one. Please listen. Please look at me. I know you're trying to wander away. Look at me right in the face. You cannot put God in a box. You want him to come in the fire, he'll come in the wind. You want him to come with a wind, he'll come with an earthquake. You want him to show up as a voice, he'll come as something different. You think you know all about him? You cannot put God in a box. Let me give you the last example of that point. Look at where it says at the end. God says, go back where you came, go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. You know who Hazael is? He's not a Jew. He's not a worshiper of Yahweh. He's a Gentile who worships another god. Make him king. What? You're not going to rule and reign with a Jewish god, with a Jewish king? You cannot put God in a box. You can't control the way God works. God says, I can use a Gentile king. I can use a Jewish king. And know what? Elijah, I don't even need to use you. In fact, your next person is going to be Elisha. In other words, go find your replacement. Wow. My brother and sister, I say this with all love. Just love. Because, well, why would there be anything else? Hear the word of God. Do great things for God. Have great expectations for the Lord. Serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Endeavor. Be ambitious for the Lord. Whether it's sharing Christ with as many people as you can, whether it's ministering to your family as a priest and a pastor, whether it's serving voluntarily, giving charity, I don't know what it is, whether it's giving money back to your friends and family back home. I don't know. But do great and mighty and powerful things for God. Be effective and productive in your knowledge of Him, as Peter says. But don't put God in a box. Find His Word. Hear His voice. And I know people take this story way out of context. You know how to hear from God? You have to sit in your room quietly, turn off all the lights, turn off all the sound, turn off your phone and your computer, and wait for the still, small, gentle whisper. I've even heard somebody say right here, you know how I choose the songs for worship? I just listen to God, and He tells me in my heart. Yeah, that's nice. You know how I choose the songs when I worship? I just look at the list and I say, I like that song, I like that one, I like that one. That's what I do. Not very spiritual. Yeah. So don't make this more than it needs to be. The gentle whisper, the voice of God, who is it? The Word of God. What's the Word of God? You have it in your hand. Who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Word of God. So the voice in your heart and the voice in your mind, if it contradicts or goes against the Word in your hand and the Word from this pulpit, question, study, doubt. That's fine. But don't put God in a box. Let God use you. Let God work in you and through you. Don't try to manipulate and draw and make things happen the way you want. Now, I say that, but trust me, I've failed again and again. Have you? I don't know, have you done that? Well, okay. Get there. Climb the mountain, fall off the cliff. Find God in the find God at the Valley of Despondency. And I love it because this is the story of God's people. This God's prophet right here, his message. Elijah is saying, this is what happened to me. Guess what? This happens to anyone who wants to do anything good for the kingdom of God. Yeah, God is full of grace, mercy. And I thank God because Jesus, He's so gentle in this story. So gentle. So kind. So, you know, we'll close with this. Okay. Elijah doesn't get the wind and the earthquake and the fire. What gets the wind, earthquake, and the fire? What saves Elijah from the presence of God? It's the rock. He hides in the rock. He's covered by the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our shelter. Jesus went on the cross and He took the fire. He received the earthquake. He was shaken so that we can stand firm. That's Jesus in the story. Amen? Okay, we'll pray now. Jesus, we bow before You, our King, our Master, our Lord. Jesus, we turn our face toward You, our friend, our Redeemer, our Word. Jesus, speak to us through Your Word in the Scriptures. Open our ears to hear Your voice speaking gently to us. This is our prayer in His name. Amen.